Mark Twain said, "There are only two kinds of people in the world, those who divide the world into two kinds of people and everyone else." We often see people in categories of us and them. We see a lot of that during an election season, us and them. See it in life, see it at the jobs, see it in church, us and them. And sometimes we place them, that them on them, and it is kind of like a burden of having to meet our expectations, you know, how we think somebody should be or how we think somebody should live their life. I'm a great believer that there is a right way to be and there's a lot of wrong ways to be. Ours is not to judge that so much as just believe God. And if you have a question whether it's not right or wrong, go to the book. We can't accept everybody's lifestyle and everybody's way because people are different. But as Christians, we can't accept their way if it is wrong according to Scripture. But we must love them. Amen. And when we discover that people do not live up to our expectations, sometimes they get bent out of shape. We get bent out of shape because they're different, don't we? Dr. Luke, in Luke chapter 13, if you want to turn there, introduces us to two bent out of shape people, a lady and a leader. We find in this story the labels of us and them, kind of, as we look at it. We see a picture he paints. Follow me as I read in Luke 13, beginning with verse 10. "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he said, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings now upon your word. Thank you for this time together. I pray we end up today where you will for us to be, where you want us to be, you desire us to be. I pray, Lord, that after we have sung your praises, after we've fellowshipped, after we've heard your word, after we prayed, after we are stirred, and after you have touched us again, we are there where you want us to be. And we are straightened up as you would have us to be. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. What we see here in this part of the passage, and we'll read some more in a moment, is this bent out of shape lady, this lowly bent of the lady. Luke paints about a vivid picture of the lady. She is described as being so physically bent over, she could not raise herself up. She could not lift herself up. She was bent over. Maybe you've seen somebody like that. It's not a real common thing, but it's not just stooped. The Bible almost describes it as being doubled over. This was this lady. Looking at the ground was her way of life, as well as her plight in life for 18 years. Now you get the picture that Luke has painted for us of her, and then think about it, 18 years like this. Nothing could be done. No one could do anything to fix it. It'd be a tough thing to do today. And there are still people like that today. C.H. Spurgeon said she lived in a posture of forced humility. She was always bent over for those 18 years. We get the picture that this lady was not suffering from just bad posture. Luke describes her condition as twofold, a spirit of infirmity, sickness, disease, frailty. And secondly, bound by Satan, oppression, not possession. Understand that not all infirmities are caused by Satan, but Satan knows how to use them against us and others. The Bible talks about sin being a problem that brings on these deformities, these problems, these sicknesses. The psalmist said in Psalms 38, verse 6, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long. Now, there are some passages in this Bible that you better have some strength when you go to reading, and Psalms 38, verse 6 is one of them. Because if you're old and you read that, it'll not make you feel good right at first, but it will eventually. Also, the Bible tells us that sorrow will do that to you. Why art thou cast down, the psalmist said, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for help, for the help of his countenance. And I like that verse because he's talking to himself. He's talking to his soul. Did you ever talk to your soul? Don't do that around people. They'll think there's something wrong with you. Amen. That may be why that person is talking to themselves. Sometimes you need to have a good talk with your soul, because your soul can get down. Your soul can get bent over, and it needs straightening out. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Trust God, in other words. And then he says, for I shall yet praise him. There is a place to get to, and he's telling us about it there. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, I gather that means I'm going to praise him when I see him. I'm going to praise him when I get to the point that I see God's face. Now, these eyes have never seen God's face. These eyes, as they are today, are getting dimmer. This is getting dumber. But I have yet to see God's face. But my spiritual eyes, my soul, I tell you, has seen God. And the psalmist said, I long to get to that place where I see God. Now, I'm going to add this right here, and you keep this as mine. Before this service is over, I pray our souls see God. It's going to do something to us if it does. Also, the Bible mentions the third thing that causes our bent out of shape, or can cause a bent out of shape condition, is suffering. The psalmist said in Psalms 44, verse 25, for our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth to the earth. Now that's getting not halfway bent over, that's all the way bent over. That's rubbing your tummy on the ground, bent over. You can't, only one place to get lower than that. Now, think about that just a minute, right? These are the things that get us bent out of shape. But this lady's spiritual condition may not be affecting her physical condition. It could, and it does many times. So as to cause her to be bent out of shape for 18 long years, no telling what it was. Perhaps this lady in Luke had resigned herself to think she would always be bent over, losing all hope that anything could be done. I can't got a feeling she felt that way. I mean, there are people who have things today, and I know when I turned 40, everybody was telling me, are you going to lose your sight? Well, I turned 40, I had to get glasses. Didn't you? Not yet. They said, now when you get 70, and I'm 7 months into it, they were right. You start losing your hearing, not only your sight, your hearing, your knees, your legs, your back, your arthritis takes over the joint. You just start losing. I ought to get an amen, not just a laugh out of that. But she had this for 18 years. I don't know if I'll have all this for 18 years, but I'm going to try to make it if I can. 18 years. Warren Risby says, if I had been crippled for 18 years, I wonder if I could have been faithful to worship God week after week in the synagogue. But she did. The scriptures tell us this lady was in the synagogue at the time Jesus was teaching, and it tells us she caught his eye. He got a vision. He saw her. Now, it probably wasn't difficult to do. You, even in a crowd like this, I can tell some of you have been over. You know, maybe a frown you got on your face, or you're about to fall asleep, or is this guy just now starting preaching? Is he ever going to quit? No, nobody said that, did they? Luke chapter 13, verse 12 says, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him." Jesus is calling. Every time we see the face of Jesus, he is speaking to us, calling to us. Every time we open this book, every time the songs are sung, every time we're praising God, every time we hear the message preached by the pastor, Jesus is calling. Seeing her, he stopped his teaching. Now, you know that teaching was very important because Jesus was doing it. But there was something in that building, in that room, in that place that was more important than the lesson. More important than the preaching? Yeah. He called her to come to him because she was most important at that time. Because something's going to happen that's more important than all of this we've seen so far. Can you imagine the silence and the heads looking around to see who Jesus was talking to? Perhaps she thought he wanted to bring attention to her condition. Jesus didn't want to expose her. He wanted to help her. I remember this same condition when I was a child and I would visit my grandparents, which I did every summer if possible, just go up there and stay. I loved the Ozark Mountains. That's why I love this place so much, because of the mountains. And I'd go up there to stay as a kid and I'd follow them around. My grandpa plowed behind a mule. I mean, it was country. It was out in the woods. Just fabulous. Take us to church, to some of them old mountain churches. And I remember one place, there was my grandmother had warned me. She said, "Now, there's a lady there. When you see her, don't stare at her. You don't stare at folks that are different." And she had this problem. She was bent over at the waist, 90-degree angle. And the first thing I noticed when I saw her was her chin looked like it was glued to her chest. So not only was she bent over at the waist, she's bent over at the neck. And like any little kid or most people, I watched her. Grandma solved that problem. She said, "Let's go up and meet her." She took me by the hand, walked up to meet her, and Grandma looked down at her and touched her, I think, on the shoulder of the head and called her by name. "How are you doing today?" And they smiled at each other. She said, "This is my grandson." And I got down there and looked at her too and smiled. She had a cane in her hand she walked with and somebody holding onto her arm. She was bent over. That picture stuck with me forever. But she was in church. Perhaps this lady in our passage today did not wish to be helped. Maybe many had tried. Maybe doctors had tried, friends had tried, and healers had tried, and others had tried for 18 years. But you know how she got help? Two things. Jesus saw her and called her to himself. And secondly, she went to Jesus. Again, I emphasize her condition. Though others raised their heads to see when Jesus spoke and watched, she could not. She could only make her way toward the voice of the one who was calling her to come. That's all you can do. The invitation is given. God speaks to you and calls you to come to him. All you can do is come. Don't wait till you see him. When he speaks, come. Jesus sees us before we see him. You don't see Jesus? He sees you. Jesus said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities." Thou art loosed. I love that. Amen. You're free from whatever it is that is your infirmity. Whatever it is that has bent you out of shape, Jesus is saying you are free from that. Man, a chill went down me. About to have a fit. Some of you are squirming a little faster. They're squirming. I wonder if Jesus touched her on the head.
kind of crouched down like this, smiled at her. She smiled at him.
I think he did. And he said, "Lady, I'm setting you free. Remember when you got saved?" Mm-hmm. The lady had been set free from the disease and spiritual ailments that ruled over her life. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Jesus then called her a daughter of Abraham. We can only imagine what she had been called in life because of this bent out of shape lady, the things that she had here, the problems. But he called her daughter in verse 16 because she was God's child. Next time you see somebody bent out of shape, whatever it is, physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, remember they are creations of God. Jesus placed his hands on her, and immediate response was the lady was made straight, and the immediate response of that was she began to praise God. Now, I want you to understand this. When Jesus placed his hand upon her, immediately, man, I could almost hear the sounds of those bones snapping and cracking and bending back in shape. And those people gritting their teeth, you know, and then you hear that sound also as this lady, but the guys are wide open because they're seeing this and they can't believe it. I got a feeling it was almost scary. But a smile came upon her face. And she did the thing that we need to get to. And that is she praised God. This bent out of shape lady experienced the lifting love of Jesus and she praised God. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3, Psalmist said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit." Bible says that we need to often look back to the pit from which we were digged. You want to praise God? Remember what you were before you could praise God. And said, "And he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay." Not only was I in a pit, but I was stuck in the pit. Miry clay. I get the, like a swamp, sludge, and you just can't get out of it. Remember, that's the way you were when you were lost. "And set my feet upon a rock, a solid foundation, and established my goings." Now, I thought about that a long time, some time back. "He established my going." So what does that mean? See, when you are saved, you can look back to the pit. That's looking back in your life. You can look at where you are right now on a rock. And you can look at where you're going. That's my goings. "He put me on a rock and he established where I'm going." Is that not reason to praise God? Maybe they broke out in the chorus of "Love Lifted Me." Don't you imagine others in the synagogue were praising God also? They were. The cynics were there also. Let someone start praising God and the naysayers and doubters will come out. I know that because I used to be one. Look at verse 14 through 17. "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day." How long did it take this hypocrite? I was going to call him something else, but Jesus called him a hypocrite. I'll stick with that. How long did it take this guy to get to this point as he looked at this to come up with this idea of what she's doing wrong and what he's doing wrong and what everybody else is doing wrong? Because it wasn't just her he was talking to. He was talking to Jesus. He wanted Jesus to hear it, and he wanted everybody around to hear it that was also praising God afterwards. Man, that must have come to him awful quick. "And the ruler answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, there are 6 days in which man ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day." Is that all you got to say about this woman who has been bent over for 18 years and she's straight now and she's smiling and laughing and hugging people and looking straight in their eyes, and all you can say is, she violated the rules. And the Lord answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite." I'd be thinking other words, but "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So Luke paints us a picture, a descriptive word picture of the woman, but he also paints us a picture, the dark overtones of the bent out of shape leader in the synagogue. I can see the picture now. Jesus heals the lady, and she begins to praise God. Then others join in praising God, according to verse 17. All of a church, they're having church, folks. Amen? Now, I really believe, you can get carried away with anything, but I really believe that our worship and our getting close to God through the music and the fellowship, even the shaking of hands and the reading of the word and the preaching of the word and the invitation, all of it ought to get us to the point that we're praising God. It's more than a leader can stand, though. And so, jumping to his feet, he yells out, "Shh, quiet! Y'all quit that! No more praising God! Y'all hush!" Ever seen anybody like that? I have. Seen church people like that. Now, Pastor, we don't want you to get loud in here. This is a somber place. We don't want you stirring up these young people. Matter of fact, we don't want to. I've had people tell me in a church, they wanted me to come be their pastor, but now listen, we don't want a bunch of kids in here. What? Bring them on, folks. His displeasure was apparent, and he spoke, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them come to be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." He spoke of the fourth commandment of the Bible, of the Ten Commandments. And you know what it was talking about in that verse? You can read it sometime, Exodus 20, verse 8 through 10. He was talking about that there is needed a day of rest. That's the Sabbath day of rest. This leader, keeping of the external law, forced him into a bent out of shape life called tradition. Listen, when God's word and God's will and God's way messes up your tradition, according to what I said earlier, it's your traditions against the book. Now, I'm not telling anybody while you're up here preaching just to go out there and have a fit and a party, but in the back, because you're praising God, you listen to the pastor, because that's what God called you to do. Amen? I was waiting for an amen. It would not allow this tradition, this bent out of shape position he was in, would not allow him to see that God was interested in the person who needed spiritual rest, not mere external keeping of the Sabbath. This lady needed rest in many aspects. She needed to be healed. God, in giving the Sabbath day rest, was not looking to hinder, to bind, but to help. You know what church is for? Help. You know who needs to come to church? Those who need it. Help. Anybody here need any help? Oh, yeah, you do. Jesus addressed the bent out of shape lady, by using a lesser to greater principle here. In other words, he's going to show this guy and everybody around, here's the big picture. He's going to expose us to the big picture, okay? This is a nice church, nice carpet and pews and beautiful, and it's really nice and comfortable in here, and there's room for more people. But that's not the big picture. If God permitted the helping of animals on the Sabbath, and would he not want to see the needs of this lady met who was created in his image? Jesus points out that the leader and all the keepers of the law were more concerned for their own animals than for this lady who had a greater need to be healed, to be helped. They were willing to loose their animals and lead them to physical water and not loose the woman who needed spiritual waters. "Thou hypocrite," he says. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 through 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath, listen to this, I love this. He said, the Sabbath, and I know he's talking about that Sabbath, not worshiping on Sunday, but it applies, okay? He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You understand that? The Sabbath wasn't made, or man wasn't made to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man to rest. That's the point. Therefore, he says, it says in verse 28 of Mark chapter 2, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You know who's in control? God is. They were talking with the Lord of the Sabbath and they didn't even know it. Jesus asked them to think about it. Back up to the verse we read in verse 15. There's a point where he says, and ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham whom Satan hath bound? And then he says, lo, these 18 years, you know what that lo means? Think about this. Keep that in your mind. Think about it. 18 years of this. His words stung their hearts because they knew he was right. He was saying, look, of all that you're doing here and you've been doing here, this is important. Oh, think about it. Jesus was looking to loose them from their external law keeping as he had the lady from her infirmity. He cared as much for the religious leaders or anyone else there. His love is a lifting love, a loosing love. And I'm going to close with another part. And that is this idea of, this is a been out of shape lesson, okay? We all have a tendency to get stuck in our traditions, viewing them as more important than anything else. Familiarity breeds indifference. Indifference often breeds tradition. Someone has called tradition a clock that tells you what time it was. It's too easy to get our traditions to come up with excuses for not helping others. Never should our traditions cause us not to care about others. Remember that old saying, motto, whatever? Joy is Jesus, others, and you. I know worship's great and I love worship and the singing and the praising of God, but it's Jesus, others, and you. It is possible to become so religious and callous that you exclude Jesus from your life too. Traditions can be good, but they must never take priority over loving Jesus and helping others. Jesus comes to set us free from our binding traditions so that we might be a greater benefit to God, others, ourselves, and others. What is keeping you up, bound up? Spiritually speaking, could be a lot of things. A lot of things taking place. Abuse in your life. Illness. The list is longer than the amount of people here. Being trapped in sin keeps us bent over. As Jesus did for the lady, I believe he desires to do for you and I today and every day. We have the tendency to think that we have to gain the attention of Jesus. I don't want to shock some of you, but praising God, singing as good and as loud as you can, is not to attract Jesus. He hears you. He sees you. When you walked in the door, he saw you. It is to lift up Jesus, and he lifts up us. Jesus sees our infirmities long before we ever see him. We speak of our God being all-seeing, but most often it is thought to be a big brother type all-seeing. You know, he is watching you and you're in trouble. Jesus sees you and me bound up and bent over in our infirmities and the oppression of Satan who wants to keep us that way. Jesus longs for us to know he sees us and wants to help us be free. Jesus called the lady to come to him and she made her way to him. That was difficult. It was hard. She had to wade through the other people. He's calling today. He's still calling, isn't he? with all the turmoil, all the difficulties of life, with the shape our world is in, Jesus is still calling. What hinders you from coming to Jesus? Have you resigned yourself to think, this is just the way life is, just the way it's going to be, I just have to live with it? Maybe it's a lack of expectancy. You don't believe God can do or will do anything about your condition. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who cometh to God must believe that he is God. In other words, you're believing that he is God and he is calling you, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You can come to Jesus, for he is calling you. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And that just simply, I believe, means that the call is out there. But some of them aren't listening and they're not moving. They're not looking to Jesus. But Jesus, his arms are not folded, but open wide to receive you. He wants to touch each of us and say, you are loosed. Why? So you can get to the point where they got. When she was loosed, when she was lifted up, when she was straightened up, she began to praise God. And others saw it, and they began to praise God. And it kind of got catchy, and it was spreading around the place. That's where God wants to get us every Sunday. Every time you gather together, every time you hear the word of God, God is stirring up your heart. He wants you to know that he cares for you, no matter what the problem you face, no matter what sin is in your life, no matter what physical ailment you have, he wants you to come to you. Come to him, and so he can lift you up so you can lift others up. Why? What is the, is God's purpose just to lift us up and we can go home? No, there's more to it than that. Because what they were doing when she was made well, when she was lifted up, she began to praise God, and everybody began to praise God. And this is where we need to get to in our lives. The point of praising God. Oh, I know God. I know something about God. Not a whole lot, but enough. To know that God wants us to worship him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to lift him up. What God, and he wants to save us. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to serve him. But you know what God desires most of all? For you to look him in the eye and praise him. The Bible teaches us that God desires the worship of his people. The conclusion of the whole matter is this. Where we come to now is let's praise God.